Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. And now, here's the country doctor with a city education, Dr. Mike.
So do you have a child with asthma, or maybe you're not sure they have some symptoms of asthma? Did you know that every day an estimated 36,000 children miss school because of asthma symptoms, resulting in about 14 million lost school days every year? I didn't know that. I got the statistics from my guest that's coming on with me. Changes in temperature, allergens, the environment, all these things can trigger an increase in mucus production as well as an increase in inflammation in the large and small airways, and then we can get the symptoms of asthma. My guest is Dr. Basheem Shaheen, a board-certified allergist and clinical immunologist and the medical director of the Allergy and Immunology Center in Miami. Dr. Shaheen, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Hello.
So you're down in, I'm in South Florida too. You know, when I moved from Texas to South Florida, my allergies really kicked in and I was even doing some wheezing and stuff. Do you see a lot more allergies and asthma in this part of the country, do you think?
I mean, I think it's all over the country. The very first thing I want to say about asthma, you know, asthma is not a single condition. It's really, it should be called asthmas because there are many forms of it and they're not similar. And, you know, I find also the parents don't like to call the condition asthma. So I like to call it inflammation, really, because in my practice and in my experience, parents don't like the word asthma because in the old days, there were no treatments. You just watched your kid cough through the night and be short of breath, and they just monitored them, gave them oxygen. And nowadays, we have a lot of treatments, but still, the stigma is strong. They don't like the term. So I like to call it just inflammation, large airway, small airway, etc. And what parents need to worry about is really if they see any symptoms in their child. Their child is short of breath when they exert themselves. If their child coughs when they exert themselves, if their child coughs, period. If their child wakes up at night, doesn't sleep well, you know, has trouble with their activities. And let the physician determine, you know, is there inflammation or not. And so I'm sorry I took a little side talk here. Because, you know, it's not from my experience, parents don't want to hear it. They whenever I tell them it's asthma, they go, you want to tell me my child has asthma? I go, okay, forget about it. They have inflammation.
And they're okay with that word inflammation because
exactly,
that explains maybe
exactly
a little bit more what's going on.
Exactly.
So you mentioned the cough.
Correct.
Let's talk about that for a second.
And
if your child does have a cough, are we looking at a chronic cough? I mean, at what point should a parent get worried?
I mean, you
that
just
this could be inflammation.
It's common sense, honesty. Just look at your child. If you think they just coughed for a second and, you know, we don't take them to the doctor, but if you watch them that they cough every time they exercise or when they're sleeping at night, they cough, or you should determine, you know, you watch your child and you think it's an issue, have the doctor address it, because cough is not always asthma. It's not a result of asthma. You know, there are many, many, many causes of cough.
Right. Okay.
And you know,
so,
you should.
So where do you think some of the common triggers are that are, you know, because do you, well, first of all, let me ask you this. Do you think there's an increased incidence of asthma inflammatory symptoms in kids? And if so, what are some of the triggers that maybe we're dealing with today that we weren't, say, 20 or 30 years ago?
Well, this is a very complex question. Every time I go to one of the large national meetings, there's always a debate pro and against the increase of allergy and inflammation and, you know, all these conditions. And there are many things that support the increase, and there are, you know, things to support that no, they're not changed from the past. Now, I think there is an increase, you know, but the causes are really quite a lot. Now, what are the causes of inflammation in the lung? I mean, there could be allergen. Allergen is definitely one of the big ones. You could have reflux that can cause inflammation in the lungs. You could have simply a type of inflammation that's not triggered by an external factor like reflux and allergen. There are really many, many causes.
So when you look at this, so you do think that there is this increased incidence.
Yes.
With children, does it tend to be more of an external trigger, or is it hard to find that trigger in kids sometimes?
Actually, in children, in my experience, I've seen, yes, there are triggers, and I've been able to, you know, eliminate a lot of these triggers, and that's why I think, you know, there are triggers, yes.
And let me ask you about one trigger in particular. There's a lot of research looking into, milk products.
Yes.
Do you think that's an issue with some of the kids?
Well, my research and fellowship was about food allergy and airway inflammation. And, I had to look up most of the important studies in the world on food allergy and airway inflammation. And, you know, there is no good correlation. My study is still being completed by other fellows, and no, there is no evidence of that, that food may be triggering. However, you could have foods that will, irritate the digestive tract, leading to further reflux, and that secondarily causing inflammation in the airway, yes. But it's not consuming food. And regarding, when you have upper airway infection and dairy products, they did do studies, looked at mucus of children who consumed milk and milk products, and those that did not while having this inflammation. And there was no really difference in the mucus. It was just a sensation. No, there's no evidence for it.
Let's move the conversation towards some of your favorite tips for parents that you'll give in your own practice. What are some of the three or four best things, best advice you could give to my listeners who might have kids who are asthmatic?
The best advice I can tell you is, don't take matters in your own hands and try to look up on the internet what you think your child has. Find the doctor you trust. Ask the questions directly to the doctor. If you're going to look up things online, there are very good resources, but it's very difficult to find the good resources online. And I can recommend a website, getsmartaboutasthma.com. It's a really very, very well written and very, very clear reference for patients about asthma. And if you want to, I do this with all my patients. I tell them always not to look on the internet. And if you want to look on the internet, this is a website for your condition. This is, so for us, anything that you suspect that may be looking like asthma, I would recommend this website, getsmartaboutasthma.com, or see a physician before.
Do you use any supplements in your practice that that can supplement the diet of a child that may be able to help with some of the inflammation and mucus?
There is a lot of evidence right now about vitamin D being, it's an important vitamin in practically every specialty is looking into the role of vitamin D and what it does. In the university where I trained, they were doing research as well on vitamin D and inflammation. And I can tell you, no one really fully understands the role of vitamin D in inflammation. However, everyone agrees that low vitamin D is not the best thing, whether it's in heart disease, cancer, or allergic and inflammatory conditions. So what we do screen for vitamin D, and when it's low, we do supplement it. And that's generally.
Awesome. Dr. Shaheen, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for coming on. These are some really good tips for parents with kids with asthma. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.